What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys. Yesterday, during the presidential inauguration, televised coverage on C-SPAN featured a call from a disappointed man who wanted to voice his thoughts, but not necessarily all about Trump's return to the White House.
Graham in Jersey City, New Jersey, Democrats line.
Hi, I want to wish everyone a happy MLK Day. I hope everyone's staying warm. I'm a bit disappointed how the election turned out. I think it would have been great to see a female president inaugurated today. While I'm disappointed in the American people and their desire to see another 4 years of Trump, I'm a bit more disappointed in the selection committee for not picking Alabama for the college football playoff finals, and instead picking inferior teams like SMU and Indiana. Truly dark times in America.
Okay. Graham there. We've got pictures of more of the president's hopeful cabinet.
Should let him keep going.
Oh yeah, what's the urgency there?
What was he gonna say?
Let him get his thoughts out. Come on.
You let him get all that political stuff out there. You wouldn't let him get. I understand it's C-SPAN, but you wouldn't let him get any of the other good stuff out there. Come on. A guy who's upset with how it went with the college football playoff. That's just good solid trolling right there, man. Good stuff.
Isn't it awesome that in 2025 C-SPAN is still doing the exact same thing that they've been doing? They're like, we're just going to open up the phone lines. Let's have some civil discourse on, you know, one of the most polarizing people in the history of politics.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I love it. I love that a guy called in and had all that to say about the Big Ten or about the SEC. I think that NIL has been a bit of a game changer for the Big Ten. Also inviting Oregon and USC and the other ones. But of course, I think Oregon was the only one that was really ready for it. I think the other ones are kind of catching their breath right now and figuring out exactly how much it takes to compete with the Big Ten. The Big Ten is for Ohio State fans, you should be proud of your conference. You should be proud of the way the game is played. I know it's always been seen as before where it's the 13-10, which is... an odd score to say. Didn't mean it like that. The 13-10 conference, the conference of Kirk Ferentz and 18,000 punts in a season. I think it's a heavy-handed, fight-it-out conference. And I think that a lot of the teams that have come over here have had a big wake-up call. Oregon was ready for it. They're well-coached. They did well with NIL. They've done well with NIL. But some of these other programs, like they've learned the hard way.
And look, I think it's important to note, like every time I talk about whether or not there's a sea change here, you know, the SEC fans will say, like, all right, Texas on 24/7 Sports, Texas has the number one recruiting class, Georgia number two, Alabama number four, Auburn six, A&M seven,
yeah,
LSU 8-10, Florida 11, Tennessee. They're still going to get amazing high school talent in the South because of proximity, but that depth thing, that is no lie. That is the days of stockpiling guys up and down and ditching them and starting them on special teams to start out their career, that is over.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to wait. You're just going to take the offer up north. You're just going to leave. And that is going to be the interesting thing. Plus quarterback play. Where are the quarterbacks going to go? Well, the quarterbacks are going to go where they're going to get paid the most.
Yes.
And that is where it's going to be so important that all these teams, not just up north, everywhere, that's where you got to spend your money wisely, right?
But I'm concerned about the lack of, because you can already see it. And again, you're going to go to where they pay you the most. You can make money. I don't blame you for trying to make money. But I also think of the lack of development that could go on with quarterbacks, where it's just going to make this all more harder to do. I mean, you go to Cam Ward. Cam Ward was a day three prospect until this last year. Now he's number one. Shador Sanders, kind of seen as a day two prospect. Now he's probably number two, depending on who ends up drafting him, right? We've had that conversation, and we will again. Like, you see more of this changeover. And I worry about the development of guys because, like, Arch Manning is probably going to be one-on-one. He comes from a well-to-do family of quarterbacks. He is wanting for nothing. There is no need for him to go out there and grab the extra $100,000 from some other program. But for a lot of other guys, yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. And are you going for the money, and are you going to get the right amount of coaching? Are you going to get the right people to coach you up and actually help you prepare for the next level? So I think that it's going to be a moving target more than it's ever as it's ever been. And if we're talking about some of these guys the way we have in the past, we're just going to be left in the past. Like Jalen Milroe, he's got to be a conversation now because of Tommy Rees. And if they wanted to take him later in the first round, all right. How far later? Well, you know, if you're just trading back with the Raiders, if he's not a number two pick, he's not a number six pick. If you're trading back into the first round, maybe he's that guy. I don't think he's the first quarterback you should take. Certainly not. But it's interesting when Andrew Brandt is asked the question, and Andrew Brandt says this about the cap opportunities with the Cleveland Browns.
I agree with there's cap room to add a significant quarterback. I think it's close to or over a nine-figure number in dead money if they moved on from Watson. But the way they've managed the cap, and I'm a big fan and friend of Andrew Berry, they have pushed out a lot of money under the theory that cap now is better than cap later. They continue to sort of lead the league in cap room while continuing to push out money on Watson the past couple of years. So they have flexibility, and that's four scenarios, I guess, like this. So I do believe they are not limited to build a team around the quarterback or add a new significant quarterback. But I don't believe they would take a hit on Watson this year.
I don't think Andrew Brandt's laying any hints. I don't think he's that type of guy. Some of the guys are. He's not. He's telling you what he believes. But it does kind of lead me to believe, all right, yeah, you're going to take an older vet who you can afford, pay him a little bit more. If you wanted to go the Sam Darnold route, I guess you could. You could try to do that. And then you're going to take a guy later. So, yeah, Jalen Milroe is a serious conversation for the Browns if they want to move back up into the first round. Trading down, moving back up, getting guys, that's a serious conversation. Will Howard, Jackson Dart, these are serious guys that we need to watch.
Can I ask a dumb question?
What?
Well, first of all, is it Tommy Rees or Reeves?
I don't know. When I'm in a hurry, I say Rees.
I've been hearing Rees.
Anyway, how do we know he even likes Jalen Milroe? We just know he coached him. Guys coach people all the time they don't like.
Yeah.
Or don't think are that good. Maybe they're like, man, too many challenges.
Yeah, we know a guy who thought Brock Purdy wasn't that good. He's no longer there. Yep. So don't even draw those conclusions.
True.